Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. It's 5 o'clock on a Wednesday. Everybody's back in town, back from their mid-season vacations, which I don't take, but, well, I'll have a kid soon enough, and then maybe my life will change.
Fall break.
At least a little bit here. Caroline is here. Caroline, how are you?
I am doing great. Let Joe go on vacation, okay? Joe gets a fall break. I get an adult spring break. Let everybody take vacations when they want to take vacations.
Do you really take a spring break?
Yes.
Well, you cover college football, and so that's totally fine. Now, if you have to cover college basketball, I don't know if you can take spring break this year, Caroline.
Well, I don't know if I will be covering college basketball, but if I do, then I will not be taking a spring break. But if I don't, then I will.
I mean, I never took a spring break in college because... Well, I was always with the basketball team. We always had basketball games. That being said.
Well, I was fun in college, so I did.
That being said, we have a new nickname for Joe Rexroad.
Oh, let's hear it.
There was Bad Take Joe, which was the original. There was GB Joe, because he is
classic.
Such a Vols homer. And now, Traitor Joe. That's
Traitor Joe
with his first round pick offer on the table from the Detroit Lions for Harold Landry. And not only that, he gets Hendon Hooker, GB Joe and Traitor Joe get Hendon Hooker to quarterback the Titans as part of his Furkacsa deal. Joe Rexroad is with us. Hello, Joe.
You're welcome, Titan Nation. Give me the chef hat. Give me the chef hat.
Well, I mean, if you just tell them that they're going to be good, they'll give you the chef hat. That being said, when it comes to the Titans, Joe, I don't ever want to hear that I am, you know, Stilly, he's just trying to find something to talk about because he had some Furkacsa take I don't believe with. Because that Harold Landry trade suggestion you made today or yesterday or whenever you made it was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Oh, you've heard way stupider than that.
No, I have not.
Stupider. Oh, you've said way stupider.
Give me an example.
Can we do this? Can we do this?
Give me the stupidest. Go.
Jared, I am not going to select. I'm not going to thumb through the catalog of Jared takes right now.
First round.
One of my personal favorites is that the Titans hired, was it Chad Brinker, so they could get Aaron Rodgers?
Did I say that?
I forgot that one. Thank you.
I don't even remember that.
That's one of my favorites.
Beautiful. Thank you, Caroline. Appreciate it.
Yes,
boy,
of course.
What a mess that is. All right, time for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad. Now on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Ian and I, during that intro, were like, did I say that about you? And he was like, maybe. And I was like, it sounds like something could have said. Caroline, go.
I'll find the receipts. Okay, Joe, you go first. If, and maybe, you know, should I go out on a limb here and say when the Titans end up with a top pick in this upcoming draft, who should make the pick?
Oh, who should make? Well, the pick. So are you asking if this front office should be fired, or are you asking between this front office who should make the pick?
That is up to interpretation, Joe.
I mean, I can't name like a new GM right now, but I will say that I think it would be comical that Amy Adams Strunk would fire this front office like in the stage that they're in. So to me, who should make the pick? Rand Carthon, the general manager, should make the pick. And then, you know, Chad Brinker, whatever exactly his role in that discussion, I would say it would be prominent, you know, should have his say, and they should do the same thing. Look, the only thing good I can say for the Titans right now, there aren't many things. I will say that this most recent draft class doesn't look too bad at this moment. There's three guys I like in this draft class. If you get three guys you like out of each one, then you're going to be doing a lot better than the last few draft classes of John Robinson.
What about the last draft class before that?
Yeah, don't like that one as much.
Oh!
I mean, I know. I mean, you know, that's fair. It's a totally fair thing to bring up. That looks bad. I mean, you know, Skronsky, we have agreed before. That pick, when you take him a guard, as you like to say, then he needs to be a star. It does not look like that's the trajectory, and obviously the quarterback right now is struggling mightily. So, Not great last year. This year, I really like Latham. I like Sweat, and I really like Brownlee, especially where he was picked.
So you can like Brownlee where he's picked. I don't think you can like Sweat where he's picked. If we're talking about the value, Sweat's not worth the 38th overall pick in the draft. He hasn't hit the quarterback once.
Do you get good football players? You know, we can argue.
Well, you're trying to brag on Brownlee, and I think Brownlee is
I'm not bragging on anything.
Solid backup corner. Like I think that's what he's going to be in his career, and you're going to be happy that he's your backup, a better version of LaShawn Sims. Like is what I think you're looking at with Brownlee.
Yeah,
and that's good for the fifth round.
LaShawn Sims. Okay.
Throwback.
There's a poll. Okay.
But LaShawn Sims was not awful for a backup corner.
Yeah, this guy's better than LaShawn Sims. But
well, LaShawn Sims was taken in the sixth round. He's taken in the fifth round. And for the fifth round, that's good. But again, if we're doing that, then the 38th pick to not hit the quarterback is a problem. I think if things continue on this path, I don't see any legitimate reason that Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker should be making decisions for this franchise. All they have done is make things worse. And it's great because people use their feelings like, oh, no, that was Vrabel's fault. But the facts are that in order to match John Robinson, which wasn't good enough around here, with his 61% wins, Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker would have to win 17 games in a row. And I believe that when they fired John Robinson, the whole mantra was, you know, we have high expectations. And when they fired Mike Vrabel, they said, we have high expectations. And they never once told the fan base that they were rebuilding. They never once signaled to the fan base they were rebuilding. And I think they didn't do that because I don't think they were rebuilding. I don't think this was what she expected this season, to have one of the worst teams in the league that gets, you know, dog walked at home by Malik Willis. I don't think that's the case. This team is terrible and everything's going in the wrong direction. And thus, simply because you think it would be embarrassing to have the same guys fired because you fired other people that win, you want to keep the guys who lose, is crazy to me. The truth is if right now, the way I'm looking at it, the moves that have been made since Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker have been hired, Skoronski, bust. Levis, bust. Spears, bust. Andre Dillard, bust.
What?
Arden Key, bust. I'm sorry, a top 100 pick on a third down running back. Jeremy McNichols has more touchdowns than Tajay Spears this year.
So they've done nothing positive.
Hold on.
There's no part of this team that's good or has been chosen well.
Hold on. Andre Dillard, bust. Arden Key, bust. Sean Murphy Bunting, bust. Brunskill, bust. Aziz, that was a good signing, Aziz. DeAndre Hopkins, not a bad signing. Cushenberry, bust. Pollard, that's a good sign. He's not Derrick Henry, but it's a good sign.
You're seriously going to go through the whole roster for 2 years right now?
Calvin Ridley, bust. L'Jarius Sneed, bust. Chidobe Awuzie, bust. Tyler Boyd, bust. Kenneth Murray's been pretty good. Jamal Adams, bust. I mean, you see what I'm saying? These guys suck, and you'd want to keep them just because you think that it's a bad look to fire them.
Well,
so you're going to give them the number two pick. You're going to have the same guys that picked the last quarterback, who is god-awful. You're going to let them pick the next quarterback. That's crazy.
Well, so was the first-round pick this year a good pick or not?
See, Latham was good.
Was that
Sweat,
a good pick?
Questionable.
The first-round pick is critical, right? I mean, it's critical. So right now I'd say they look like they're going to be one for two. You know, what's crazy is you looking at this team, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but, like, not giving enough blame to the issue, which is Will Levis. I mean,
so right, you're going to let the guys who picked Will Levis, you're going to let them pick the next guy.
When they're in their first year of, like, this setup?
Excuses.
Yeah, I think
John Robinson drafted three All-Pros in his first draft, and that wasn't good enough.
Well, it wasn't good enough because by the time he got fired, which we both agree was stupid in season, he had been stacking horrific draft classes and making awful decisions, the worst of which was A.J. Brown, which, by the way, want to talk about Jared takes. Oh, I see that one. That's pretty good. I get that one. No, I mean, John Robinson, over time, got worse. His first draft was amazing. His first off season was amazing. But yeah, it's just the crazy part of this to me is that it's this early and you're so convinced these guys, quote, suck.
They suck.
I don't think all of the evidence is that they, quote, suck.
They were a scotch away from the playoffs when they took over, right? Like, literally, it was a ref's call that decided whether or not they were going to the playoffs. Right. They're the worst team in the league right now.
But you seem to think, Jared, like, it's just like, go back to John Robinson. He had a great first offseason, right? Also, it was kind of nice to inherit Taylor Lewan and Jarrell Casey.
And it'll be nice for the next guy to inherit J.C. Latham. Not even the bad teams have a good player.
Jared, the point is that there's – right, but there's lag time still on all this stuff, right? Like, John Robinson's bad drafting is still rearing its head. And I'm not going to sit here and put everything on him. No, of course not. But you can't sit there and say, well, these guys just took over. How's the team? The team sucks. Oh, my God, they suck. Like, they took over a team that was eroding badly with its roster because of bad decisions by the previous regime. And that's objectively true. Again, but, I'm not saying I'm bought in. Like, these guys are fantastic, but I think it is absolutely crazy that you would fire them this year.
I think it's crazy that you won't even consider it.
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot more information to come this season. So
The decision on the next quarterback, I think we can all agree, is a 3-year decision, right?
You mean, what do you mean?
So if the Titans have the second overall pick and they take Cam Ward, well, now you are committed to Cam Ward for the next 3 years, right?
At least.
I mean, that sounds good, but in this league, that's not how things often work out. I'd say two. You feel good about two.
So now you're going to commit the franchise. You're going to give them the decision to make the decision. Like, you're going to give them the ability to steer the franchise for the next 3 years when the only evidence that we have on them is Will Levis, who's the worst quarterback in the NFL right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
Will Levis
has not worked out. I mean, Will Levis has not worked out. And I'm sure there'll be more, you know, who really liked Will Levis? Who really
liked
Will
Levis? And you
know
what we're going to get told? We're going to get told Vrabel really liked Will Levis. It was Vrabel.
Well,
that's what we're going to get told.
I don't think anyone has the – I can't believe anybody will try that. But, yeah, possibly.
Caroline?
To be fair, it was the same regime that decided to sell the farm for Trey Lance. They drafted Brock Purdy.
Yeah, they kind of saved their asses with that, though.
They totally saved their asses.
But they also had been to a Super Bowl, and, you know, again, it's
right. So what does that tell you? I mean, that's a great point, Caroline. What does that tell you? All these guys, all of them, screw up quarterback. They all do. They all screw up quarterback, or they get lucky, and some of them have both.
But just because San Francisco screwed up quarterback and got lucky doesn't mean that that's an excuse for why I want Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker to pick the next quarterback for the Titans.
Okay.
I mean, you're sitting there saying, like, I mean, look, they all get lucky here. Say, you know, why can we blame them on that?
I am sitting here saying how things have worked out with Will Levis, I do not consider to be a fireable offense for these guys.
Oh.
Now, if everything was bad, then, you know, then that's different. And like I was starting to say, look, like if Snead's knees all of a sudden he can't play half the year, I mean, they're like.
I'm concerned the fact that right now Snead can't play and he's got okay knees. He can't cover Alec Pierce.
And also, to be fair, Joe, isn't everything bad?
Every move they made?
Kenneth Murray's good, you know. Inside back.
Every move that they made, but like, or is all peachy in Titanland? I don't think so.
Of course not. It's terrible.
And their coaching hire looks disastrous right now. Which, again, it's early, but it's bad.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. But again, like the defense. Do I think Denard Wilson's a good D coordinator so far? Not bad.
This defense blows.
The number one defense.
They suck. They suck.
Hold on.
They don't turn the ball over.
Well,
they don't. Yeah, you. It's easy to be the number one defense when you give up 113 yards in penalties. They don't count that against you.
Yeah. Again, the number one defense thing is certainly some smoke and mirrors, but it's also like it's not a horrific defense. Like everything peachy. No, they have a quarterback right now who can't play, and so they lose close games and they score 17 points. So they're 1-4. So he's the problem. I mean, he is the primary problem right now.
More Jared versus Joe to continue next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Caroline.
I got one that I think Joe is going to hate, and it's going to be great. Jared, you go first. Who would be a better general manager for the Titans today, John Robinson or Rand Carthon?
Oh, it's John Robinson. And look, John Robinson screwed a bunch of stuff up. There's no doubt about that. Like the AJ trade, the Julio trade, the Farley pick, the Wilson pick, the Raiders pick. They, I mean, again, screwed a bunch of stuff up. But the guy won 61% of his games. Even the year he got fired, they were 7-5. They've won 7 games since they fired him. And he is responsible for 5 All-Pros. He is responsible for the running back they have that's going to go to the Hall of Fame. And I actually think that John Robinson would be pretty good if given a second shot, because I think he'd probably leave a little bit of that arrogance that maybe he had at the end of the door. Again, other than finding 3 good inside backers, I don't really know what Rand Carthon does well. I mean, hey, he drafted a tackle. Way to go. So did John Robinson. And let's say this. You know, as bad as Isaiah Wilson was, I bet you if the Titans had the 7th pick in a draft, they wouldn't have drafted Isaiah Wilson. So other than when John inherited the 1st pick and then traded it away, and then the 2nd year when they had the 5th pick as a result of the trade, they never even came close to picking 7th overall under John Robinson. So I don't even think this is close, and I don't think John Robinson would do interviews during practice like Rand Carthon does. I don't think John Robinson would need somebody promoted above him to help him do his job the way that Rand Carthon did, and I think that John Robinson's coaching hire, as of right now, looks a lot better than Rand Carthon's. So I don't think it's really a difficult discussion. The answer is John Robinson.
By the way, thank you to Adam Vingan for his excellent submission of Ellie Tolvin and Flores, Philip Forsberg. Good submission to Adam Vingan.
That's a doozy.
That's a beauty.
That's a good one.
No, I don't hate this question, and I actually agree with Jared. I mean, I John Robinson's a much more proven GM, so I would pick him. Like, I do, you know, I understand Jared likes to make fun of Chad Brinker's models and all that stuff. I do think that they needed to beef up that part of the operation. You know, we'll see if it pays off, or maybe we won't see if it pays off. Maybe they will follow Jared's. I know, Jared, they're bad. I know they're a bad team.
Well, but let's use the analytics thing, right? One of the guys that does analytics.
Okay, so hold on. But going into the year, you picked this team to do what? Go 5-12?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're acting like shocked that they're not good.
I'm not shocked, but if you listen to them talk before the season.
They have a winning record this year, right? Did anybody in town pick them a winning record?
They spent the whole offseason pumping sunshine saying they were going to be good.
Okay.
They never talked about a rebuild. They never said, hey, fans, we're going to try our hardest. We're working through it. They never said it. So now we have to give them credit for it?
They got some players. They went and got players, right. And they're trying to be competitive. You're absolutely right that Amy Adam Strunk did not expect them to stink this year. She wants them to be good right now. She wants to sell PSLs. And – you know, if the best case scenario of Will Levis as a quarterback was playing out this year so far, what would their record be?
I mean, that's a big if, though.
Yeah, well, it's a million
and
miles.
And they're the ones that brought Will Levis in, and they're the ones put a real backup behind him.
I'm agreeing on John Robinson. I mean, like, we agree on this answer. I would also pick John Robinson, but you know, you are.
But you start making excuses for him.
I'm not making excuses. You are spinning everything into everything sucks. Nothing's been done well.
Well, let's use the analytics department as an example.
You're spinning.
Let's use the analytics department as an example. Because I read Paul Kaharsky's piece where he went person by person and said what everybody does. Which, by the way, I'm not going to lie to you. I think I kind of bullied Chad Brinker into doing that. But more importantly, the first person's job is the college prediction model. So they run these numbers, and it gives them an idea of what someone's going to be based off the college prediction model. How's Skowronski working out?
Yeah, they're going to miss on players.
Okay.
They're going to miss on players.
Okay.
You can't miss in the first round.
What about –
no quibbles there.
Okay, what about the person with the team that is in charge of the rules. They have a rules analyst. They have two people on the headset during the games, including a rules expert and a real-time analytics game coach as part of the analytics. Well, how did they go to Miami and not know the rules on the kickoff?
I don't know, Jared.
Okay, then why, if they've got these great analytic people upstairs, are they punting the ball on 4th and 7 in the fourth quarter down by 3?
Well, that sounds like a head coach overruling the analytics people, because the analytics definitely said go for it.
Okay.
Right?
So, I mean, again, we
is
keep...
Is he allowed to do that or not?
So what's the point of these analytics if they don't ever use them or they don't work?
So
the injury prevention model. How's Chidobe Awuzie been this year?
This is a great example of your logic. So if on one occasion the head coach does not just like a robot go with the analytics, that means they don't ever listen to the analytics people. I mean, think about how twisted that logic is. We know of one occasion where, thank you for the information, I'm going with my gut and going elsewhere. Oh, they never do listen to analytics. What are you talking about?
No.
This is the problem.
My whole point is that the Titans use the word analytics, and it's like, this is what they did. They basically said, we were so far behind the rest of the league with John Robinson in the Stone Age because he was a bumpkin, and so now we've brought in these guys from San Francisco and Green Bay that are so smart that went to Kellogg and found this AI model that cures cancer, and now we're going to be smarter than everybody else. And the reality is, I actually think they're run dumber than they were before. But because they brag about their analytics, it's like, no, they're smart.
So anyway, the way we got into this is, like I said, I would pick John Robinson. I do think that in general, you should have an analytics team in the NFL in today's game. So that, in theory, hiring those people was good.
But you don't want them because you'd rather have John Robinson.
Perhaps they also suck. Perhaps they suck too.
I mean, it's...
Perhaps they all suck, Jared. I mean, I know. You love that word.
It's a possibility. Caroline, what's next?
Joe, you go first. Should Will Levis regret doing the mayonnaise commercials?
Oh, hell no. God, good job, Will. Put some money in that pocket, man, because right now things are not trending toward, toward the big $250 million deal here as a start in the NFL. But... No, not at all. And if you mean regret because people are like making fun of him, I mean, so what? You got paid, man. If you mean regret because like somehow that has some influence on his poor play, I mean, I hope to God you don't mean that, because that's so stupid.
I mean, I think that we have to think about what really matters to Will Levis, and I think his image is what really matters to him, which is why he did the mayonnaise commercials, which is why he sat there with Peyton Manning and asked about...
Yeah, he would have totally turned it down. Yeah,
marketing opportunities.
Because he asked about monetizing. Oh, what a sin. What a crime.
C.J. Stroud didn't ask about it.
Good old... Thankfully, Jared volunteers at this station. I mean, we really appreciate it, Jared. It's more money for the rest of us because you volunteer and you're just so altruistic and just worried about everybody else. Get the hell out of here with that crap.
I think I don't want to say who said this because I don't know if they want to put this on the record or not, but somebody in the media said that Will Levis is like an actor who's playing quarterback. And I every time I think of that, I'm
like, I'm glad he did that commercial.
I'm like, that is so...
That's his true calling.
And I think what really matters, I think Will Levis is really insecure, and I think what really matters to Will Levis is... You know, again, what people think about him. So when he gets up there and he says that he doesn't care what the stats say or what anybody says about him, I think the exact opposite is true. So I think that Will Levis cares what people think about him. And again, like the mayonnaise commercials, it was an opportunity to be made fun of. And there's Stephen A. Smith just right there making fun of him on national TV for doing the mayonnaise commercials. It's embarrassing as a Titan fan when I see him on a commercial. You know, if this is just... You know, like an earnings report, and they're sitting there talking about what the bottom line is, then I guess, yeah, okay, good. He made some money on the mayonnaise deal. Great. But as far as, you know, your own self-esteem and what people think of you, which matters to him, I'm not sure this was the right thing to do. And I do think it sends the wrong message when you suck and your coach won't sit you down, and yet you're sitting here on these mayonnaise commercials like, man, I'll tell you. Boy, his head's in the right place. The Titans' heads are in the right place, but they're not a joke. So I mean, look, maybe he likes the money.
He did the mayonnaise
commercials
before this season, Jared. You realize that, right?
I know,
like,
but
there's this thing where you record things,
right,
and then
and
you
so
play
did,
them later. You get that?
And so did Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland. He did the Progressive commercials, and I'm sure he didn't tape them on Wednesday before the Patriots game on Sunday. But it was used against Baker. And Baker had to spend a lot of time, you know, rebuilding his reputation. And even this year, the going rate for a starting quarterback, and I think Baker is every bit as good as Trevor Lawrence, Tua, you know, some of these guys that signed for real money and stink. Baker's making $30 million a year. Those guys are making $55 million. And I think that there's kind of, you know, a kind of a hesitancy with Baker. And I think some of that is around it. So
wait a minute. Whoa. So you are suggesting that his Progressive commercials hurt his career, not the injuries that got him out of Cleveland because he didn't perform that year. It was the Progressive commercials. That's what you're saying?
They made a big deal about it. Like
dumbass people make a big deal out of dumbass things. Yes, Jared, that does happen.
Well, what other unproven quarterback? Right. What other unproven quarterback other than Will Levis and Baker Mayfield has done a national commercial campaign ad of? You know, and even like the Progressive thing, that's like a
I have no idea. Who gives a crap?
This is money. I mean, or this is mayonnaise. Like, it's almost a joke. But I mean, I think it makes Levis come off as kind of a doofus. And he, this season has been kind of a doofus. So I don't think it's been a good thing.
He made fun of himself. Credit to him. They were funny. It has nothing to do with his poor performance at quarterback. It will have nothing to do with whatever happens in his career, too. That will depend on his performance on the field and his health.
Caroline?
Anything other than that is absolutely inane conversation.
Caroline,
Thank you for bringing that to us.
Last one. Jared, you go first. Should Jared get credit for the Vanderbilt wins the past couple of weeks for his reverse rat poison?
I don't think I should get credit above the coach or the players or anything like that. But if they
below the coach and the players?
If Vanderbilt wanted to make me a game ball for being the one guy who, again, I didn't even say anything bad about Diego Pavia. I just said, like, I was worried about all the rat poison before the UK game when he launched a podcast. And I'm like, oh, who cares what Diego Pavia's podcast? Like, how the Hawk Tua girl's got a podcast. And apparently Vanderbilt expertly used that to motivate their quarterback, reportedly. So I do think that I should get a game ball.
All right, so I'm trying to think. So, okay, so coaches, players, what about, like, the ops people?
No, I get a game ball before them.
You get a game ball before the ops people? Okay, all right. I
helped them win more. What did the ops people do?
I assume they have important jobs.
What did you do?
I motivated the quarterback, reportedly.
So when you say reportedly, who said this?
You know the evidence is out there because Robbie told you that the evidence is out there. Caroline has seen the evidence, so she can back this up, that it is from a reputable source.
So, all right, well, I believe Caroline, obviously, over you. So legit, Caroline?
Okay, I've seen what the source has said. The source did not directly say that Jared motivated the quarterback, but the source is reputable.
So what did the source say?
The source said that on Friday they told him that I said that I compared him to the Hawk to a girl, that he took his lunch and sat in the corner by himself and stewed about it while away from the rest of the team.
The Hawk to a girl.
Before that, he was about to throw four picks in Lexington. Like, you just totally changed history.
Hey,
I say give him all the credit.
I think I do. I will say this. If Vanderbilt plays Texas and they have College Game Day here, like, if we end up doing the show at the game day site on that Friday or whatever, I do hope to get a sit-down with Coach Saban. And if we do, I am going to tell Coach Saban about the reverse rat poison. And I expect Coach Saban to be very proud of me for that. That is something Nick Saban would actually, I think, enjoy.
What a world.
Caroline, who wins?
What a world. Joe wins this week. Surprisingly, not for the rat poison comments. I'm with Joe.
He's going to let Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker pick the next quarterback, and Joe wins.
Yes, because I don't totally disagree with Joe on that. No, I don't have the utmost trust in this, you know, the alliance, the allegiance, whatever you want to call the people at the top of the Titans
organization. Committee.
The committee. There you go. That's another one. Also, the Will Levis commercials. Like, it, I think good job on Will Levis, because it doesn't look like you're going to be cashing many checks playing football moving forward. Cash in while you can.
Hey. It's like, who was it? Was it Chance Warmack that took out an insurance policy that he would stink and then claimed on it?
Hey.
Really?
That's...
Yeah, so
smart.
Hedging yourself.
I think he was like the first player in the history of Lloyd's of London to take a loss of value on getting a second contract, and because he didn't get a second contract, he was able to claim on it.
Chestnut checkers.
I mean, I guess, like, NFL star, Insurance Business of America. Boy, they use the word star here loosely. NFL star Chance Warmack becomes the first to collect loss of value insurance policy. He's on track to receive the maximum payout. Yeah, that's bad. I think I'm disappointed.
A sassy little addition to the end.
I'm disappointed in Caroline this week. Letting Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker pick the next quarterback. Would you really let them pick the next quarterback?
Every time. Keep firing them. Fire, fire, fire.
I didn't want to fire the general manager when they fired the general manager last time.
Now you just make up for it with more firings. Just keep firing.
I didn't want to fire. See, here's the difference between me and them. I didn't want to fire Mike Mularkey because he was winning. I didn't want to fire John Robinson because he was winning. I want to fire Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker for the same reasons I wanted to fire David Poyle and John Hines, because they were losing. Same reason I wanted to fire Jerry Stackhouse, because he was losing. See what I'm saying?
Yes, and losing like you did today. Congrats.
That's true. Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Thank you guys as well. Plus, speaking of the winning and the losing, I do think the Titans are caught up in a real problem the NFL has. And there's an expert that I think brings up a very, very valid point about the way the NFL operates and how bad teams like the Titans do it. We'll do it next.
If you're Amy and you have invested all this into this, and I mean, it's a big change now, right? And yeah, a little bit of a half measure change maybe last year. Now it's the full thing. And you're really going to entertain starting over? I can't. Especially with all the criticism she has, to me, rightfully received about rashly making decisions in the last few years, I think it's I'm 2%, and I feel like that's 25% is wild. Wild, Robbie.
Have you seen her the last 2 years?
Well, I know. But again, that's part of my reasoning.
That was the morning show talking about, hey, what's the likely chance that Rand Carthon ends up getting fired. And again, I always lump Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker together. You know, everybody, to me, I think what's going to ultimately happen is Rand's going to take the blame, and they're going to make Chad kind of the football head. They're not going to demote him and name him GM. He'll be the president of football operations, and then once they fire everybody, then they'll get a GM who will be GM, and it'll be back to normal. But that's just a different discussion for a different day. But again, I'm told I'm not allowed to fire these guys that lose. That if the Titans end up with the number one pick after 2 years of bad moves, that they're going to then let those guys select the next quarterback. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I want to do what Washington did, which is if we stink, we stink, blow it up, and then let the GM pick his quarter, let the GM pick his coach, let the GM and the coach pick their quarterback, and let them go. But that's just me. But I keep thinking about this odd scenario with Titan fans and football fans and everything in general, which is Titan fans think I'm crazy. Now, again, 70% of the fans on Twitter on the poll we ran said John Robinson is better than Rand Carthon. And 61%, I think, said
they wanted
somebody else to make the pick. So maybe it's not the fans, but I do think it is inevitable that the Titans will have some sort of Carthon, Brinker, Callahan picking the next quarterback, which I hate. And I cannot get over the fact that in year two, Mike Mularkey won a playoff game and got fired. But 2 years of being worse and worse, we can't be mad at Carthon and Brinker. And John Robinson was 7-5 and got fired. But the Titans in a year and a half have won 7 games since then. But nobody there gets fired. Mike Vrabel won games and got fired. He had a winning record. Brian Callahan, I mean, I don't even know if he's going to be able to keep the team together. And it actually reminds me of something very insightful that Snoop Dogg, of all people, said. This was about 7 years ago when Jeff Fisher and Eric Dickerson got into it, which led to Jeff Fisher being fired by the Rams. And Jeff Fisher kicked Eric Dickerson off the sideline. And Snoop Dogg was on set of Undisputed, the Skip Bayless show on Fox Sports with Shannon Sharp. And Shannon Sharp, trying to defend his old coach, Brian Billick, makes a point that leads to Snoop Dogg with a theory that actually might be true and the Titans might be an example of.
Brian Billick, from 1999 to 2007, won two AFC North titles, won Super Bowl 35, and had zero back-to-back losing season. He can't get a job. He can't even get an interview.
Are you talking about the coach that's on CBS to be doing this?
No. Brian Billick, the one that's on NFL Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he used to coach.
You are.
Yeah, he was coaching Baltimore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a great coach.
He can't get a job. He can't even get an interview.
Probably because he didn't know how to win. They like coaches that like to lose. Like, I'm watching the NFL industry. They don't really respect coaches that win. When you lose, like, for example, Marvin Lewis. I hate to say it, you've been having a horrible season since you've been there. He should have been gone. Mm-hmm. But they keep reinstating him, giving him opportunities. And it's like, why did he keep getting opportunity and Billick's not getting opportunity? Yeah.
He's not wrong. I do not understand it. In the NFL, it's like, well, you know, Brian Billick can't get an interview. Why not? Well, he wins too much. I mean, that's the problem with this coach. That's the problem with this. He wins too much. Whereas, again, 2 years, Mike Mularkey wasn't good enough. They were the worst team in the league. They were 3-13. Mike Mularkey takes the team over 9-7 immediately. 9-7 the next year. They win a playoff game on the road at Kansas City, fired. This team was a skosh away from the playoffs when Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker got here. They are now vying for the number one pick. And we're supposed to think that those guys shouldn't be held to the... not even the same standard that Mike Mularkey was, but, I mean, the same stratosphere as Mike Mularkey. And the only thing I can come up with is what Snoop Dogg said. They like coaches that like to lose. That's what it's got to be. Stillman and Company, 102.5 the game.
5 seconds remain out to center ice, and the Predators disgustingly look up at the scoreboard clock. Defeated here tonight, 7-3 by the Seattle Kraken.
So I don't know how they pick Tennessee Broadcaster of the Year, Tennessee Sportscaster of the Year, but it's always either Mike Keith or Pete Weber. I got to tell you something. I think Pete Weber has a solid edge over Mike Keith because you'll never hear Mike Keith use the word disgustingly there. Give me that Pete Weber call again. Good God, that was juicy.
5 seconds remain out to center ice, and the Predators disgustingly look up at the scoreboard clock. Defeated here tonight, 7-3 by the Seattle Kraken.
You know why he can say that? Because the Predators live in an organization where they tell the truth. You know, Barry Trotz comes on the show, and he's like, yeah, this guy's not doing well enough. Yeah, you know, this guy's got to step it up. Yeah, I was mad at this guy. As opposed to the Titan land where everything's great. Let me say this. 0-3 is not a good start. And while stranger things have happened, McDavid and Draisaitl own Bridgestone Arena. So at this time on Friday, I'm a little worried it's going to be 0-4. Now, I am not panicking on the season. You know, I do buy in that it takes a little time to gel. But you can also win some games while it's taking time to gel. I thought the start last night was horrendous. I thought the third period was horrendous last night. And I am worried about the Predators. Again, my worry's not at a 10, but it's there. And I'm starting to feel like the second line center for the Predators is kind of like the right tackle position for the Titans. And Tommy Novak is Nicholas Petitfrère, a.k.a.
PT.
But when I told Ian that, Ian did say that Tommy Novak is probably a little bit better than PT. I will say this. When they signed Tommy Novak, when Elliot Friedman went on the midday show before the trade deadline and said first round pick for Tommy Novak, I thought, get him out. Trade him immediately. But I don't think anybody would have actually given up a first round pick for Tommy Novak. That said, He's not signed to a terrible contract. It was a hedged bet, but he will be on the team this year. And he has not been good. You know, since he signed the contract, he was terrible in the playoffs, which I was worried about, and he's been kind of terrible this year. And I think that second-line center position with Stamkos and Marchessault, it's affecting the whole team. Now, defense is awful, and the goaltending could be a little bit better, but I think that's going to be the big thing the whole season, is that second-line center position. But I am worried, and I am worried about what McDavid and Draisaitl may do tomorrow. And I know they're struggling, but I'm still worried. That's it for us. Stillman & Company, Preds Insiders next.
Smashville Live.
Smashville Live, then Preds Insiders. We'll see everybody tomorrow from the arena at 2.